Welcome back to this week's episode of the Liquor Podcast, everyone. I'm Fred Lambert, your host. And this week, I'm actually not joined by Seth Weintraub. I don't know exactly where he is at this time. He was supposed to be on the show, but he's in California right now. He's in Los Angeles, and I'm going to join him tomorrow. He went there a day early, and we were supposed to get some stuff for you today that we were going to announce on the podcast. But since he's not here right now, I'm not sure if I should say anything. And maybe he's going to be able to join us at some point during the show. But for now, you're going to have to bear with me while I try to do this on my own. Also, let me know in the chat if something is not right in terms of the audio or video setting, because it's my first time hosting the show on my connection here on my from the YouTube channel, from the Google Hangout and everything. So please let me know. But we're going to start with this week's news, starting with the Tesla Model 3. There's a ton of interesting news this week from Tesla and a few other interesting subjects from other EV makers. But starting with the Model 3, as we usually do, there was a very interesting news that came out about a Model 3 teardown, sort of Tesla being vindicated for the Model 3 about the actual build quality and the profitability of the manufacturing process and everything that goes into the bulk of the vehicle program, really. Monero research firm, Monero and Associate, they've been doing a lot of news. They've been the source of a lot of news when it comes to Model 3 for months now. And they've been really feeding the bear case on Tesla. They've been feeding the shorts, basically, because early on, they bought a few Tesla Model 3s, early production versions, and they did it to turn it down. They're a research firm based in Michigan, and what they do is that they take cars, they tear them down, reverse engineer them to show how they are made. And they make reports on them that they then sell to industry people, to investors, to other automakers, to suppliers who want to get an edge on how to get in with an OEM like Tesla. And now they set their sight on the Model 3 last year and bought a few of the early models that came out. And the first, they sort of released their analysis on the car in batches. Like they started out with just looking at the build quality, the gap, the panel, the body panels gaps, and things like that. And at first, they were highly critical of the car. They say it wasn't built well. They say it wouldn't be profitable. This is going to lose money on that car. They said a bunch of things that pissed off Tesla and made the shorts very happy. But what happened this week is that they released their full report. So now they've gone through the entire car. They've completely disassembled a few cars. And they did a full cost analysis of every part of the car. And they came out with their full report, which is $87,000. It's not cheap at all. I see you guys want to close the curtains, but the lights is extremely weird if I close the curtain like that. It's just so insane. But anyway, so you can move on from that in the chat section. But Monero came out with a full report, and they said that it's not only going to be highly profitable, unlike what they originally stated based on their preliminary report. They said it's going to be highly profitable. It's going to be the most profitable electric car out there at a gross margin of over 30%, they think. That's based on their entire cost analysis. So Tesla was sort of vindicated because, if you believe Monero's earlier report, and now they basically admitted that they were wrong at the beginning. They even said that they are eating a lot of crow right now. But to be honest, I was skeptical when they were negative on the Model 3, and I'm still very much skeptical now that they are positive on it. I mean, I take this with a grain of salt because I haven't seen the full report. I don't have $87,000 to put towards seeing that, even though I'm sure it's going to be interesting. But those people are trying very hard to sell that report. So at first, they were trying, because they've been trying to sell it for months. So they were selling it in parts, and now they are selling the full report in its complete entirety. But at first, they were aiming to sell it to the shorts, to people that hated Tesla, to the investor investing against Tesla, also to other automakers for sure. Now, the other way around, they cover the entire market. Now they were they try to cater to people that are pro Tesla. Maybe I'm just being too pessimistic, and maybe that they're really like, after further analysis, they have more data, and now they are they can have a more complete picture of the car, and they're truly fans of it right now. But based on the video that they release about the video that they release about the release of the report, really, there wasn't really much information, important information. Like, he says that he likes the battery cells. He's a big fan of battery cells. He said they're better than other battery cells, but he doesn't really explain why. He says a little bit that they're more energy dense than the previous cells, but we already knew that. So it's unclear why he's such a big fan of the cells. He's a big fan of the electronics of the car. But again, it just says that they're well built, not much more than that. And like in terms of cost, the only example he gave was that the rear view mirror, which is like something like half the price of a comparable mirror. But it's not the greatest example, really. But still, like again, as you take all of this with a grain of salt, maybe the report is great. We haven't seen it in full. If you guys happen to have a copy and you want a slim one by me, I'll take a look for sure. But what else this week on the Model 3? Hypermiling record. That was a pretty interesting one. Hypermiling record in a Tesla Model 3, and it happened in Germany. So the vehicle is not even officially available in Germany yet. There's plenty of cars there. First, which we were just talking about, people reverse engineering the Model 3. Plenty of people did that in Germany. Looking at you, BMW. Looking at you, Daimler. But that wasn't the case here. Next Move, which is a rental car company, they bought a bunch of Model 3s to bring to Germany. Something that we don't recommend, really, like importing a Tesla vehicle from North America to Europe, just mainly because of the charging option. Though right now, I think some people are trying to bring to market some adapter from Tesla's proprietary plug to the Type 2 that they have in the European market for the charging station, for the fast charging station. But there's some issues with that. Tesla is not really on board with it, and we wouldn't really recommend it. But they did it nonetheless, and what they did with it was pretty cool, because they did a full hypermiling record on a test track, and they did 622 miles. That's 1,001 kilometers, all on one charge. A new record by not that much, but still, do I have the last record here? I don't, but if I remember correctly, it's like 30 miles or something more than the last one. Maybe even less than that. Oh yeah, 606 miles to 622. So yeah, about 15 miles difference. But what's most interesting about it is how they broke that record is, again, they use a test track, so they weren't on public roads, which makes it a lot easier. But they also, the vehicle was sort of unmanned for the majority of the attempt. So what they did is that they put on autopilot. They got inside the car. They put the car into autopilot. They put a dummy on the front seat to make it seem like to make the sensor detect that there's someone on the front seat, so that it will work. And they attached it to the steering wheel. So we all know now that the most people call it the autopilot nags, so the alerts that give you to tell you to hold the steering wheel while you're on auto steer. Those alerts are now really frequent. Like if you don't hold the steering wheel for like 5 seconds, you get the alert, and eventually you'll then deactivate the autopilot, which is an issue if you're trying to achieve hypermiling record on autopilot. But by attaching the dummy, which they called, they said it was they make it look like the Starman, that it's on the Tesla Roadster that's in space right now, that SpaceX launched on the Falcon Heavy. They said it was his brother. and yeah, that worked apparently. So the actual people in charge of the record got out of the car, let it go, and it actually worked. They even broke another hypermiling record, this time with the Model S. So last time that there was a record with the Model S was with the P100D, so they knew that the 100D being a little bit more efficient would probably take the record. And sure enough, they were right. 701 miles on a single charge. That's 1,128 kilometers, which is pretty amazing. Of course, well, we're all talking about hypermiling here. So that's not useful range. That's not something that you're going to see in the real world type of driving experience. It's purely a way to see how much efficiency you can get out of a car. So it's sort of really pushing it to the very limit. So it's fun to see really what are the limit, how much your driving can affect, because it's the same car. It's just the driving that's different. So people are driving at like 36 kilometers an hour or something like that. Not really something that you often do outside of being in traffic. So it's really to see how much you can push a car. It's pretty much for bragging rights, really. So these guys at Next Move got the bragging rights now for the hypermiling record on the Model 3 and the Model S. Model 3 dual motor performance and dual motor non-performance. We got some news this week, some new details on it. First of all, they got the EPA rating. So EPA rating is official. No surprise at all there. They got the 310 miles that Tesla was already advertising. The most interesting thing really is that 300 miles, even though it's the same as the long range version with rear-wheel drive motor, it got not as good as its efficiency. So the efficiency rated by the EPA is 29 kilowatt hours per 100 mile instead of the 26 kilowatt hours per 100 miles that the single motor version was getting. So they are getting the same efficiency. They are getting the same range on the same battery pack, but with less efficiency. So the explanation for that, because it doesn't make sense, is that Tesla asked the EPA to reduce the official rated range on the rear-wheel drive version. So technically, it could have been advertised at a higher range, but they didn't. I think it was 334 miles that the EPA was originally rating the Model 3 long-range version with rear-wheel drive. And Tesla reduced it to 310. And now it sounds like they're really getting a 310 for the dual motors, the both dual motors version, which means that maybe you won't get the EPA rated range in real world driving as easily as you do with the real drive. Because I don't own the Model 3 yet. I have a performance version on order. Don't know yet when I'm going to get it, probably in a month or so, something like that. But from all the people that I talked to who have a Model 3, a real drive version, because the performance version hasn't started delivery yet, it's pretty easy to get your EPA estimate. So the 310 miles on a single charge, it's apparently pretty easy to get it. I have concern that it won't be as easy for the dual motor versions because of what we're seeing now from the EPA. Remain to be seen. Also, of course, always depend on your driving experience. But if you have a performance version too, it's a little bit more fun to drive. You go a little bit harder. Pretty sure for most people, it's going to be clear that it's going to be harder to get that nice 310 miles EPA rating range. Still pretty good range either way, if you ask me. What else we learned about the Model 3 performance version this week? Because it's in store right now. Like the test drive version, the vehicle for the test drive are in store right now. 100 were made. They were shipped last week. Now they're making their way to the stores. They've been spotted all around. And I guess since it looks like Seth is not showing up today, I should just say it. Why he's in California today is because he was supposed to get a test drive in the performance version later today. And we wanted to make it a live one. So if the plans have changed, Seth is a no-show for the past hour or so. But if everything is okay, it should be live on Electrek, a live test drive of the performance version later today, I think around 7 p.m. Pacific time. So around 10. So it's going to be late for most people, unless you're on the West Coast. But other than that, that's the plan right now. So the first reviewers are coming out, also, of course, of the performance version. First test drive, maybe I don't think anyone had had the car for a while and was able to do a full review yet. But the first test drive review and the first one that came out was with the Wall Street Journal. And it wasn't really a full drive review. Well, like he talked a little bit about the experience driving the car, and it was the Dan Neal is his name, I think. He's the main Dan Neal, right? The guy was really impressed with the driving experience, but the mostly of the review was just about the Model 3 in general, not really about the driving experience of the performance version. And so we're going to learn a lot more about that, I think, in the coming days and probably today too. But his only complaint about the driving experience was the wheel, not the wheels, the tires of the Model 3 performance version. So for the regular version of the Model 3, Tesla went very optimizing with low resistant tires to get as much range as possible. They diverted a little bit from that with the performance version in order to get some a bit more performance out of it. They went with the Michelin Pilot Sport 4S tires. Even though they're more performance oriented than the standard version, the standard tires on the Model 3, Elon Musk, Tesla CEO, said that they still optimize them for a nice balance between range, so low resistance, and resistance to get some traction, to get some performance out of them, which is always fun. But wasn't it really enough for Dan Neal at the Wall Street Journal? And Elon Musk actually responded to his concern and said that what I just said basically about the finding a balance between resistance and traction for range versus performance. And he suggested that if you go with some wider wheel and tires for the back and the rear wheels and more stickier tires overall, you could probably easily get 3.3 seconds acceleration from 0 to 60 and maybe even faster than that. And we know that it's 3.5. The stock Model 3 performance version stock is 3.5 right now. But Elon Musk has been talking about for a while that Tesla could get some more performance out of the Model 3 performance version. But he was talking about power output before. So now it's not really about power output. It's the same power output. It's just stickier tire, basically, which makes sense for really any car. But we know that in the past, Tesla has unleashed a little bit more performance out of the Model 3, out of its performance version vehicles, like some Model S P100D, for example, with software upgrade, and sometimes also with small hardware upgrade, like the Ludacris upgrade, which was changing the connector on the battery pack in order to allow a higher amperage, which increased the total power output of the car. So the actual connector was the bottleneck, basically, in the power. But yeah, he said that there's a possibility that we could increase that the power output of the Model 3 performance version, but we haven't seen that yet. So I wouldn't expect that anytime soon. Just like the Model S performance version, the actual software upgrade for performance came much later. I mean, still today, Tesla is uncorking. They're calling it. They are uncorking the performance of some Model S and X months, even maybe a year after it was first announced. But yeah, it's starting to get very interesting on that front. We're gonna see the Model 3 performance version a lot more in the coming days, coming weeks. It's gonna be a lot of fun. All right, now changing a bit the speed of this, we should probably have like a segment about that every week, like the short corner or something like that. What the shorts, the Tesla shorts are up to this week, something of the sort. Because they had a big week, they were pretty excited this week. First, it started with the analyst from Needham, Rajvindra Gill, I think is his name. The guy is a top Wall Street analyst, like highly ranked on the tip rank, on the top 100 analyst. So he carries a lot of weight when he puts out a note about the company. And this week he puts out a note on Tesla, and a pretty controversial note, because he said that he claimed that right now, not in the future, right now, the Model 3 cancellation rate is higher than new orders. So Tesla is losing orders for the Model 3. People are canceling at a higher rate than people are placing new orders for the car. So that was weird to start with. Then he explained his reasons for it. He said that Tesla is extending the wait times, which is not exactly true, like we explained in an article about it. He also said that another reason would be the expiration of the full tax credit, which is fair in the future. But right now, I don't think that makes sense. And he said also the unavailability of the $35,000 base model. which is, I think, his best argument. Because for sure, some people are just, if you cannot budget for a version of the Model 3 higher than a 35,000 version, and you are also budgeting for the $75,000 tax credit, then yeah, I mean, cancellation might be your best option. So that's fair. But does that account for more cancellation than new orders? That's where things get really weird, because he also had a bunch of other inaccuracies in his report. For example, he said that the current Model 3 wait time is 4 to 12 months, which is just not true. I mean, the performance version right now is 1 to 3 months. I think it's the same thing for the rear-wheel drive version, which is the one that's already producing at 5,000 a week. So it really doesn't make any sense. And and also the base version not being available, he said, until mid-2019. So, of course, that's still up to Tesla. Tesla has been late in the past, we all know. But right now, they said 6 to 9 months, which is not necessarily mid-2019, not even close, really. Like, so it's the end of the year or early 2019. So he made a bunch of, I think, of either assumption or simply is misinformed. But he put all that out there. He said Tesla is losing orders right now. And Wall Street, of course, eat it up. Was big fan of the note, and the stock fell on that was Wednesday when the note came out, I think, or maybe it was yesterday, Thursday. Either way, Tesla denied it pretty quickly. They told us that it was just patently false, that the cancellation rate is outpacing the new orders. And what was most interesting is that it pushed Elon Musk to actually comment on the issue and even disclose the new order rate from last week, something that Tesla basically never does. Like, all we get from Tesla normally is at the end of the quarter, once a quarter, we get the delivery numbers, we get the production numbers, and we get like some color on the order rate. So sometimes it's going to be it could be something like the order rate was higher than the same period the last year. So that's good to know, but I mean, it's not much information really. But what he did this week, he said that he actually disclosed the order rate from last week, saying that Tesla received over 2,000 Model S and X orders. So he didn't break those down, but 2,000 Model X and X and 5,000 new net orders for the Model 3. So net would mean net of cancellation. So after cancellation, they got 5,000 new orders, which is in line with the production rate, really. So that's what Tesla wants. Tesla wants to maintain 5,000 order a week. But you have to take into account that they also have a backlog of orders at this point, because if you remember, just a few weeks ago, Tesla opened the online design studio for everyone. So, and a week before that, all reservation holders in the US and Canada were able to order. So when that happened, and then the design studio was open to everyone, Tesla most likely in those 2 weeks or so got a very big batch of orders, especially for the all-wheel drive version, which wasn't available to everyone, and the performance version that was just launched. So, I mean, I estimate that in probably over 10,000, maybe close to 20,000 orders at this point. So that came in about 2 weeks of that. So that a few weeks after that, Tesla is still getting like 5,000 new orders for the Model 3. I think that's very good, like net orders. Net order is important. So that's very good. 2,000 S and X, that's in line with what Tesla is aiming to do. Tesla would like to sell, produce, and deliver about 100,000 S and X this year. So they have to do about 2,000 a week. They fell a little bit behind in the first half of the year. So they should aim to catch up during the second half. But people are not really worried about that haul highs right now on the Model 3. But that sort of was the first thing that the shorts like latched on to this week, and was pretty much killed very effectively by Tesla PR and then Elon Musk. If you even believe the note in the first place, that that started a whole thing, which I think most people following electric didn't, because yeah, if you follow Tesla closely, it just doesn't really make sense. The demand right now is not really the problem for the Model 3. I mean, Tesla is really more focused on the production capacity. And really deliveries, which is the other things we're going to talk to, because deliveries, it really sounds like it's the bottleneck right now for the Model 3 people. Tesla is having difficulty with the logistic of actually delivering that car to someone. And that was the second story that the shorts latched onto. They're the one that basically created the story that why it was picked up. They found out about two big parking lots with a ton of Model 3s and a few Model S and X2 in there. I think I can see from the pictures. Excuse me, I know I'm the one always talking now since I don't get a break when I talk, so I'm a little bit parched. Sorry about that. So yeah, two big parking lots, one in Lathrop, which is in a bit outside of the Bay Area in Northern California, and one in Burbank near Los Angeles in Southern California. The shorts themselves, those reports coming on the shorts, because we've seen the pictures, but it's pretty hard to estimate the exact number of cars. They estimated about 2,000 in each parking lot. And, of course, the way that was framed is that Tesla is just stockpiling the cars because they cannot sell them. It's not, those cars are not sold. Tesla produced them just to be able to show that they can produce 5,000 cars a week. And now they're just running away in parking lots in the middle of the desert. That was the narrative that was presented by the short who actually found those cars. And they ended up sending a plane, taking pictures with plane. They ended up sending one of the, because the shorts are big on Twitter. If you follow, you just put TSLA on Twitter and you see shorts commenting from everywhere. It's pretty funny if you guys have a few minutes to spare. And the one of them ended up going, doing a live stream live from the parking lot, like pointing out all the cars and saying that Tesla is doomed with all the cars just rusting away in the parking lot. Then Zero Edge, which if you guys know Zero Edge, it's a big financial publication online, which quite controversial. They are big on hit pieces, and they find a company that they don't like for whatever reason, and they just produce hit pieces after hit pieces on the company. This is a smear job, and Tesla is one of those company. So they picked that up pretty quickly and framed it as Tesla just basically frauding the investor by reporting the production rate, but with cars that aren't outsold, and building a huge inventory. But of course, if you look more into it, the explanation is just a lot more simple, I think, in my opinion, but in most people's opinion, I think too, that look at this rationally and not with the aim to hurt Tesla and make money by its stock going down. And that is that Tesla just doubled its production rate in the space of a quarter, in the time of a quarter, so in 3 months. They virtually doubled the production space. And the way that they ship cars, basically, so the cars come out of the factory and they go into a staging area, a parking lot, to load them up on trucks to then go to the freight companies to ship them on rails or go to directly to the store if it's a store in the Bay Area, or if they ended up, I know sometimes they end up shipping by trucks to the store in California. So they need a staging area to do that. And they had a few parking lots around the factories for a while. And they also had other places too. So it's not the first time that they go outside of the factory, the close proximity of the factory to do that. But now that they double the production rate, so the cars are coming out of the factory a lot faster, and they cannot keep up with shipping. So they need a bigger staging area to load the cars. So they took a few other parking lots, including this one in Lathrop, and they do it there. So at first they were saying like cars are coming in but are not going out, which is completely untrue. Like even the guy with the live stream was there at one point. He had to admit, oh, okay, yeah, all right. I see some cars coming out now on trucks, of course, to be delivered either by either to a nearby store or also Lathrop is also right. It's a big logistics center. So a bunch of other companies have big distribution centers there. And it's very close to rails, so shipping companies. So you just truck them off to the rail and then load them up, and they go anywhere else, other country. They also have a deep water port near, so they can use the port also if it's going overseas. Though of course, when it comes to Model 3, that's not going to be the case for now, unless they ship it to Canada by boat, but I would doubt it. Either way, they made a big thing out of it. They were freaking out. And it's actually just well, a logistic thing. Like it's just the slick spending, it's logistic, it's delivery capacity, and that's where they are at right now. So if anything, it's certainly not the another thing about them, and they made it seem like the Tesla is just not able to deliver those Model 3 to people. They're not able to, they're not having an order, so they're not sales yet. Again, demand is not really an issue. It's more about a logistic issue trying to deliver those cars. And you have to look at it in because of Tesla's direct sales business too. Other automakers just sell their cars in large batches to dealerships, to car dealers, and they will sit on their lot for a while sometime. And that's how they get rid of the inventory. Tesla owns all their dealerships. So whether the inventory is at the store or it's on the parking lot somewhere in California, it's still their car anyway. So we already knew that the Tesla's complete inventory between Q2 and Q3 would skyrocket, would be a lot higher. And what we're seeing right now is the evidence of that, basically. So if there's anything negative about it, is that maybe Tesla need to upgrade its logistic to deliver those cars. If there's a fair criticism somewhere in there, it's going to be on that level. But I don't know what's the situation exactly in terms of logistic. Maybe they also have a good reason not to ship those cars yet. So I don't know. But my understanding is that the delivery process is a bottleneck right now. So if you go at pretty much any Tesla store these days in North America, you're going to see a ton of cars on the lot. So they're doing a lot of deliveries because of the Model 3. And also, like we've seen, based on what Elon Musk said yesterday, they're also doing very well in terms of the Model S and X. So they're just really busy with delivery. So that's why last week we talked about did we talk about the delivery process, the 5-minute delivery process? Now, Tesla is just trying to accelerate delivery a lot to make it a lot smoother, make it a lot more efficient. And by doing that, they're doing a 5-minute delivery process where they send ahead of time to the owners that were about to take delivery. They send them the video that they produce. So if you go to Tesla's YouTube channel, they have a bunch of video about the Model 3, like just to learn basic things like how the key card worked, like on the B pillar and then leaving the car in the car and whatever, how the functions on the gear lever works, the gear selector, how autopilot works and all those things. So you can just learn about it in video. So what that does is that it saves the delivery specialist the walkthrough that they do with the car normally, which is a big part of the time too. Then there's the paperwork, but that you still have to do, though it's fairly quick. But they're trying to bring that time down to like 5 minutes. And it used to be like easily an hour to get your delivery. And it also depends on the person. Like some people try to get out pretty easily. And if follows Electric or they're really big on Tesla and anything like that, they already knew a lot about the car. So they're familiar with it. Don't necessarily need to spend that much time in the And they want just to get in it and drive away as possible, which is fair too. But yeah, now that you're going more mainstream with the Model 3, I mean, I can get why someone would want a full walkthrough. It's not clear if Tesla is like offering it as an option right now or if they're forcing you to take that 5-minute delivery. I wasn't exactly clear on that, but like 5 minutes is really short. So if and it's not just about the walkthrough too. Not just about learning about the car, you should do a quality check before leaving too. I mean, just a good walk around the car, looking at the body panel, looking at the paints, if there's not any chips, opening the doors, seeing that the door seals are in place, correctly in place and everything. You should do a fairly thorough check, which I don't see being done really in 5 minutes, including the paperwork and everything. So don't let them force you out the door too quickly just because they're busy. If you want to, I mean, I say take your time. They can afford it. If not, they're just going to have to invest more in the delivery process, really. But moving on from Tesla, there was plenty of other EV news this week, starting with one of the very few completely new all-electric vehicles that are coming to market this week, the Kona Electric. That's from Hyundai, of course. They launched it earlier this year. It's coming to the U.S. later this year. But they started production in Korea. Actually, they started back in May, but there was like a dozen cars or so, so nothing much. But last month, in June, the number were released yesterday for the number of in June. And now that they started more, I don't want to say high volume production because it's far from high volume production, especially since we were just talking about the Model 3. But they produced about 2,000 units, which isn't bad. About half of it went to the local Korean market. And they shipped out, they exported another 1,000 or 1,200 or so units. We don't know exactly where those are going, so we're going to know probably next month when the registration number come out for July. But I'm going to guess probably Norway or so, because that's where they announced the pricing information and everything. I think they did so too in other European countries. So basically, it's going to go to the European market. They haven't even confirmed pricing in the U.S. yet. But there's a few cool things about the Kona Electric. Mainly the price. It's a relatively affordable all-electric long-range vehicle. And when I say long-range, there's two options for the battery pack, which is fairly rare outside of Tesla these days. They have the long-range version, which is a 64 kilowatt-hour battery pack, claiming a 292 miles range, 470 kilometers. Not sure that's based on which rating, though. 64 watt hour, 209. So that doesn't make sense. That has to be like NEDC, maybe. Yeah, that seems high. But anyway, they also have a 39 kilowatt hour battery pack, a smaller range, which they claim 186 miles version, which is also high. But at the same time, we're talking about Hyundai here. And Hyundai produced, of course, the Hyonic. And the Hyonic had a crazy efficiency level, like we've never seen before. And I just had a text from Seth who said he's back in 10 minutes. So maybe he's going to be on the show right before the end. And we're going to get a confirmation about that Model 3 test drive, see what's up with him. But yeah. Now, oh yeah, the Hyundai Kona Electric, which they're calling it a SUV, but let's be honest, it's not really SUV. It's a compact vehicle that takes sort of the shape of a SUV, but it's fairly short. Most people are comparing it to a Bolt EV, which I think is fair. It's pretty much a competitor to Bolt EV, but it might even be more efficient than a Bolt EV, though. We're gonna see. But in terms of sizes, it's similar. Now, in terms of price, in Norway, if you compare the price with the price in Norway, it started at about $40,000, the equivalent $40,000. And that's for the long range version. So you get the long range version, which is the one that's more competitive with the Bolt EV with the 60 kilowatt battery pack and other long range EV on the market right now. But we don't know the price of the base version yet. So it could be fairly cheaper. Still, I think it's going to be like, if the long range version is 40, if it's the low $30,000, I think it makes a lot of sense. If they price it at like 35 or something like that, I think it's going to be a tougher sell compared to the Leaf. Though you have still even though it's a very, very compact car, you still have the style of SUV that you don't really have with the Leaf. So I don't know. It might be a success. But either way, the last point is, of course, the production. And like we saw, 2,000 units last month. They're supposed to ramp it up, but not much more than that. They were talking about 30,000 units per year. So I doubt they're going to have much issues selling all of them. We're going to see. The other car I want to talk about, we just mentioned the Leaf. The Leaf Nismo. Not sure how you pronounce that since it's Japanese. Nissan Leaf Nismo. Nismo is the motorsport division, the in-house motorsport division at Nissan, sort of operating as a vehicle tuner, if you will, a bit like Saleen with the Mustang. As if Saleen was part of Ford, because it's really an in-house company at this point. They make more sportier versions of their cars. Not all of them, but when it makes sense. And for a long time, they were promising a Nismo version of the Leaf back when it was the previous generation, which, of course, people hated the design of the previous generation. So it was something that people were looking forward to, having a Nismo version of the car that probably would have resulted in a 6-year design a little bit if you can do that with the previous Leaf. But with the next gen Leaf, so people were a little bit more satisfied with the design, though there's still a lot of haters for the next gen Leaf design. And Nissan brought back the idea of having a Nismo package on the Leaf. They revealed a bunch of concept over the last year, and this week they confirmed that they're actually going to do it. They're going to release the full version later this month, and it's going to go on sale starting in Japan. So hopefully it's gonna be available somewhere else too, other markets. But right now they are just talking about Japan. You can look at the picture on Electrek. We have a link in the description, but I mean, it looks good. Definitely look a little sportier, but it's still very much like a next gen Leaf. I mean, you can see it. Yeah. Lastly, about other EVs, I wanted to talk about Volkswagen. So Volkswagen, of course, is the king of the press release for electric vehicles. They always talked about the EVs, but they never released anything. Especially since the Dieselgate scandal, they were big on PR when it comes to EVs because they want to show that they are walking away from the diesel and from the cheating and everything, and they're going electric. But if you look at their actual plan for EVs, it is pretty ambitious, but it's very much based on regulation. So they want to keep up with regulation, and that means for now, China, of course. China is really aggressive with EVs, so they want to make and sell EVs. Talking about Volkswagen, Volkswagen want to make and sell EVs in China, like all other automakers, really, because of this EV mandate coming up next year. And Europe, too. In Europe, they have also some more aggressive fuel consumption goals, and therefore they need some more EVs into their mix in order to achieve those goals for their overall fleet. There is some standard also in the US, but much less aggressive. So the result of that, from what we learned so far about Volkswagen's plan, is that all those new EVs are coming to market that right now they are known as the Heidi concept. So the Heidi Buzz, which is like the microbus, the electric microbus that people are raving about. There's also a crossover. They also a sedan, the Visions, the Heidi Visions. So all those new cars are supposed to come between 2019 and 2022. They're not aimed at the American market. They're not going to be produced in America. They're going to be produced in Europe, produced in China for those markets. And they weren't any plan like a year or two into the start of production to go to the US with it, because they just didn't need to, or didn't feel like they needed to, really. Now what they confirmed this week, what the head of Volkswagen North America, Heinrich Wubken, probably mispronouncing his name, but head of VW North America, confirmed that at least the Heidi Buzz, which is the microbus version that we just mentioned, and the Heidi Cross, which is the all electric crossover, which is sort of based on the Audi sports backs that's going to follow the Audi e-tron. So sort of a similar shape, similar type, just VW a little bit cheaper and everything than the, of course, premium version of the Audi sports back. They're going to be produced, those two versions are going to be produced in North America. They said in the U.S. directly, so in the U.S., not just not North America, in the U.S. And they also said it's going to be Americanized, so they're going to make different, a little bit different version of it. So that could just mean Americanized in terms of the regulations, of the market-specific regulation that NHTSA is imposing on automakers. Or it could be also just trying to make it more appealing to the American market. So that wasn't really specified, but people are pretty excited about those cars, especially the microbus. I mean, it's based on the, of course, iconic VW microbus in the 60s and 70s, and that was very popular, of course, with the hippie movement. But now they're bringing back and modernizing a lot the design, and they were talking about pretty significant powertrain in it, like an 83 kilowatt hour battery pack. I'm mistaken with the across your 111 kilowatt hour battery pack. So you should easily be able to get 100 miles of range despite being a not very aerodynamic bus here. Also a bunch of different configuration that you're going to be able to get. So not necessarily like the first all-electric RV, but pretty close to it depending on the configuration. And if it's anything like the old VW microbus, a lot of people are going to customize them themselves and make it their own. So it should be a pretty fun EV. I mean, there's a few of those coming to market that are pretty interesting right now. But they're always like 2020, 2021, 2022. There's nothing really short term. Like I said, the Kona EV this year, aside from the Niro EV from Kia, which is basically the same car, different name, different brand. So, I mean, you can count them as two, but it's pretty much one. Then you have the Audi e-tron Quattro, which is also supposed to launch this year. But other than that, it's pretty low on new all-electric vehicles on the market this year. Same thing next year. Correct me if I'm wrong in the chat room, but aside from the Mercedes EQC, which is their all-electric SUV, and the Porsche Taycan, formerly known as the Mission E, and I'm not even sure it's coming out 2019. I keep getting different reports about the Taycan from Porsche. Sometimes they're saying, like, their executive is saying, oh, it's going to be a 2019. Then they say 2020. But sometimes, like, they mean model year 2020, which is normally come out late 2019. But then they said, no, it's going to come out in 2020. So then what's going to be like? It's going to be 2020 or model 2021. So we don't know exactly, but there's those two. And 2019 should also see the first of those ID concept from Volkswagen, but only in Europe, so not in North America, with my understanding. That's the ID concept is the Golf size one, so sort of a next gen Golf, all electric. They're also talking about autonomous driving on the car, so having level 4, which would be surprising for 2019, really. Yeah, ID Golf. It's not called the ID Golf though. They're not saying that it's going to replace the Golf, because there is already an e Golf available today, which is purely a conversion of a gas or diesel version of a Golf with an electric powertrain in it. That's pretty much it. So, unless you guys have some question on everything that I can answer right now on the show, I think it's pretty much it. We ran a little bit short because I was the only one talking during the show. Seth is not here, and I don't know if he's showing up, since he said about 10 minutes ago that he was going to show up in 10 minutes. Thankfully, the Jaguar is out. Yes, the Jaguar, I forgot about it, you're right, is also coming in 2018. Sort of forget because they're sort of already out, or at least they said that they were starting deliveries in the U.S. last week. Though it's Waymo who got the cars, I think three cars. So apparently they weren't really happy with that. They're saying that it's the first deliveries because they're really part of a test fleet. Though Waymo made it sound like that. They said that it is a test fleet. What else are you expecting all those money to make about 30,000 a year? Yeah, that's a good question. That's always the big thing. I mean, even if the car is cool and the demand is high, how many cars they're going to deliver with it? And man, most of them, it's really low. Just like the Jaguar itself, which looks like a killer. I mean, everybody was driven it, set included, fell in love with the car. It's an awesome car. The only disadvantage against Tesla is mainly the lack of a supercharger network. Though there's going to be some different option, and it's still 100 kilowatt hour capacity in terms of the charging, fast charging. But it sounds like they're going to make about 30,000 a year too. The only Audi might be higher. I don't know. Audi e-tron is still a question mark in terms of production capacity. Mercedes have some great ambitions, and I think in terms of all electric vehicles. So maybe the EQC is going to be higher. Also a question mark there. Any news on the Boring Company? Yeah, that's why I'm going to California tomorrow. So I'm going to join Seth tomorrow in California. We're going to visit the Boring Company on Sunday. And that's not because we were invited from Electric as a media. That's because I actually bought the hats and won the competition with the hats, which a bunch of people think they cheated for me to win, which I think is the craziest thing you could say. Because if they wanted me there, they could have just invited me as a media. They didn't. I bought four hats and I won, right? I won with one of those four hats. That's it. And that got us in for the event on Sunday. So we're gonna have a report on that. It's gonna be late on Sunday though, because I think it's gonna be late California time on Sunday, the event for the Boring Company. But during the day, we're gonna still we're gonna do a live blog or maybe just on social media. You can follow us on Sunday. So maybe do a live stream. Oh, we have Seth in. We're going to talk to Seth. I'm just going to finish my thought here. You can join us on Sunday on social media on Electrek during the day too, because during the day before the Boring Company, we are going to be at SpaceX for the Hyperloop competition. So at the same time, we want access to that. So we're going to report on that too, because apparently the kids there, the students, have some pretty insane pod designs that we're going to look to. But right now, we are joined live from Los Angeles by Seth Wintraub. Seth Wintraub, who's
an hour late,
a great person, one of the best publishers on Heart, very intelligent man, but doesn't understand time zone, apparently. Was that the issue?
Time zones are really hard. I knew what to do. And then I was looking at my watch and I was like, yeah, I've got like another 40 minutes. And then when I texted you, I saw the link and you were like, you know, you're cutting it close. And this was like 40 minutes ago. So I was like, oh, geez. I realized because I was like, oh, 2 o'clock. That's 5 o'clock and I'm fine.
Yeah, but that's the first thing I said to
start. And then, yeah,
when,
I know.
When you told me I'm going on a bike ride with whoever, the first thing I said to you right away is, yeah, I told you, you understand though that I wanted you to understand that, because I thought you might miss it because of the time zone and you didn't know. So I told you the hour with your time zone and you still forgot.
I still blew it. Yep.
I knew it. Either way, I think you guys correct me in the comment section, but I think I did okay alone. Wasn't the best show, I'm sure, but I think I pulled it off for our first time alone.
Sorry about that, guys. But there is some good news. There is, I don't know if you told everybody, but...
Well, I wasn't going to tell them because I wasn't sure anymore. Maybe you died on your bike ride. I wasn't exactly sure. So I did tell them that if Seth is okay and everything is still working, we should have... go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm going to be driving the Tesla Model 3 Performance Edition at 4 o'clock Los Angeles time, is
7 here. So I got it wrong. Like I'm not great with time zone too. I told them 7 your time. I thought it was 7 your time.
No, 4 o'clock. So basically I'm going from here to Century City. They're going to give me 15 minutes or so, theoretically, with Tesla Model 3 Performance Edition. I'm going to see how fast it goes from 0 to 60. I'm going to try to do it all on YouTube live. I asked Tesla a couple times if I could do it, and they never got back to me either way. So I'm assuming I can, until they tell me to stop, which has happened before.
Yeah.
The 4 o'clock time is kind of Tesla time. So I have no idea if at 4 o'clock they're going to be ready, or if, you know, the six people before me have already, you know, are going to be still waiting. I have no idea what the situation is going to be. So the takeaway is sign up to subscribe to Electrek's YouTube channel. Keep it on. Keep your YouTube on. You'll get a little subscription, you know, a little pop-up when we go live for the Tesla Model 3 Performance Edition road test.
Yeah, so we're going to have probably a post on Electrek itself with a link to the YouTube. But if you just subscribe to YouTube, you're going to get an alert once we go live for that. And you have to turn on the notification, though, for on your YouTube.
Yeah, I use Chrome notifications, but...
Yeah,
yeah,
for sure. And you can also follow us on our social media. So we have Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We're going to probably post on that, too, to make you let you know that we're live with that. And that's going to be for tonight, but that's also useful for Sunday, like I just said, for the SpaceX. So we're going to live blog it, social media it. That's not a word. But
yeah, are we going to do Instagram? Or are we going to do Periscope? What are we doing? YouTube?
Yeah. Well, I like YouTube Live, so maybe we should do like a YouTube Live for the Hyperloop competition, and maybe try also for the Boring Company visit. We don't even know what's going to be the Boring visit exactly yet either. And for that one, I was right about the being late too. It's going to be past 7 California time, so it's going to be pretty late for everybody else. But the SpaceX thing, it's going to be SpaceX Hyperloop competition. That's going to be throughout the day. We're going to for sure do Instagram things, for sure blog posts on Electrek, and most likely YouTube Live too when we can. So join us live for every one of those things. Seth, you missed out on all the articles we talked about this week, but it was awesome.
All right. I mean, you know. I'll catch up right now.
Yeah. We got a bunch of questions too. I see in the chat about the performance measure. So if you guys have any question right now for Seth to ask during his test drive, do it now, and we're gonna take note of it. I saw that someone asked about the weight, Frank by houses solid weight. I think it ends up being about 400 pounds heavier, which is quite significant for the front wheel drive motor. So that's the only add on really. Well, there's also Sporter. There's also the new suspension. There's also the new wheels. So there are a few other add-ons, but the main motor is the main one. Can you turn up traction control? I mean, we've seen a bunch of drift videos. So maybe, but Tesla has in the past been not great about... online I have the option to remove traction control, I think. Never used it, but... So I'd be surprised if you don't with the emulsion. And we've seen it drift, which is a lot easier if you don't have traction control. So, yeah, that's a possibility.
Cool. I'm looking forward to it. I think it'll be fun.
You're going to drift?
I'm going to do as much as they let me do.
That's it. That's a good answer.
I'm going to go top speed. I'm going to go whatever. I'm assuming we're going to be at like Century City.
It's going to be public roads, right? Did they tell you it's going to be public roads? Or do you have something?
I mean... They told me it was going to be, you know, around 15 to 20 minutes, and they told me that we're leaving from Century City. So you can't get to any really good roads from Century City in 10 to 15 minutes. So it's not going to be that crazy.
Well, do your best.
Yeah, I'll do my best.
All right. So join us back in a few hours. And thanks for listening. Thanks to our Patreon supporter at patreon.com/electrek. We're going to ship you your gear very soon, and we're going to launch the new gear, because that's been the 6 months mark has now been passed. So a few of you have done the 6 months, so deserve your gear. You can subscribe back though for the next batch for sure. We're going to send you out that too. Patreon.com/electrek. It's help us a lot. If you subscribe to YouTube, that helps us too. So thanks a lot. And, or if you're just watching or listening in your podcast app, we appreciate you too a lot. And we're going to see you next time. Bye.